prepare to receive away team.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, On the Road.
Hello, hello, hello. So here we are. We just got out of seeing
Rogue One.
A Star Wars story.
Yes. So much fun. So much fun.
I am totally geeking out.
I know. I didn't know I was going to be this excited. So all four of us got to see it. Tiffles is here.
Yes.
And have you seen all of the Star Wars?
No.
So did you feel a little bit lost?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Go home and watch A New Hope.
Okay.
Because this dovetails right into it.
Yes.
That's the sequel to Rogue One.
Yeah. Right into
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought they did an excellent job creating believable characters that you were interested in. This is definitely a offshoot of the main story. This is not the main storyline, but it dovetails very nicely.
Right into it.
Without being overly heavy-handed, I think this was the one thing that I felt was like so much different from maybe some of the previous George Lucas things.
Well, what I really loved about this one, one of my big problems, other than direction and dialogue in the prequels, was that the technology in the prequels looked so shiny and new, and everything looked like it should be eons past New Hope, when it in fact was 18 years prior to New Hope.
Right. This was definitely not the case.
This was definitely not here. It was gritty. It looked
the dirty stormtroopers.
Yeah. it actually looked like a New Hope, feel-wise.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I felt like I was watching a prequel, too. A true prequel. So I thought it was
cool
awesome.
Story, yeah.
So Starz-Lord, you are the Star Wars expert amongst us.
I will say the setting of the base in the Final Conflict really brought me back to like a flip side of Hoth, the big battle on Hoth. Because you take one of the darkest movies, Empire Strikes Back, in the original trilogy, and you have it all shiny and bright because of all the snow, and the sun reflecting off the snow, and then this locale is completely warm and sunny as well. So it's got kind of a tie into that. Because this is the second darkest movie, Star Wars movie, that they've made.
Right.
This is basically a World War II movie.
Yeah.
Set in the Star Wars universe. This is nasty shit.
I felt very much like it was Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, it was very much a Pearl Harbor type of feel.
This is like the Dirty Dozen type of movie.
And I have to say, for a movie where you knew how it was going to end, because we've seen
it's a prequel,
movie. Yeah. Yeah. I was still kind of on the edge of my seat at the end of it. I was like, I knew it was going to happen.
It worked really well.
Yeah. And I liked that it wasn't too cutesy, too storytale, too like, you know. It was a true World War II type movie. Yeah. So
I will say the CGI thing that they tried, not there yet.
Yeah.
It's gotten better, but with one character, it worked better than the other character. The other character looked like a video game.
Yeah.
It took me. It was luckily that was near the end. I won't spoil who that is, but
don't
do that, guys.
But the majority of the time, it was very, very good, and
plenty of nods to the the main Star Wars trilogy.
As people who go to a lot of movies and we tend to be kind of critical, I think we were all giddy. Except for Tiffany, who was like, huh?
I liked it.
Alan Tudyk's K2, oh my god.
He was the best. He was the best.
Yeah.
So.
But even the characters, even the side characters, I've heard a lot of complaints that you didn't get the backstory of Chirrut and his buddy, and the names escape me. But I didn't need that. I just needed to know they were friends. And now I just want a book.
I think that was the mistake that Suicide Squad played that Star Wars 1 did not.
Right.
Didn't give you the full dossier of every character.
We don't need the dossier. Yeah. Because you know what? The characters in the story did get the dossier.
And somebody's going to write the book. And I look forward to that book. Because I loved those two characters together.
Yes.
And Donnie Yen was great.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I want to read their backstory. I didn't need it shown on the screen.
No. And it would have cluttered the action. I think that it was well paced. I never felt like, oh my god, when is this going to be over?
I will say this movie reminded me a lot of like the best of the fan films, like cherry picked out of that. Some really great
there's a lot of fan service in here.
Yeah. Well, and I think there was a part of me that, even though it took me out of it for a minute, I was like, oh, cool, like six of the, like, they got to say lines, you know? And I was like, yeah, they got one line and then something. But
there's Red Leader.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's a Porkins-like character. Yeah, so it was just kind of happy to be able to see that.
Did anyone else, the move that they make at the end, I'm not going to explain what the move is, did he call that a Hammerhead Corvette?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Okay, there's the sequel, Hammerhead Corvette Summer.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
So. Well played. So it really reminded me of the old, when Marvel first had the Star Wars license, the old Star Wars comic books. It reminded me of those. Because they were so inventive, and you got to see things that you always wished you had seen. And this is on the big screen. The technology is there. It's awesome.
Yeah. And yes, awesome. So, without being spoilers, because otherwise I was just about to spoil something.
Oh, gosh. That's so tough.
Okay. Grades. We'll start with Tiffles as the outsider, quote unquote.
I guess a B.
Because you didn't know.
That's okay. Don't watch a new hope, and then you'll be like, oh my God. Yeah, okay.
I will say this. I didn't like it as much as the story last year.
Yeah.
The continuing Force Awakens, story.
Yeah. Right.
I like that much more. I felt more invested in the characters. But,
yeah, this
but
was
to
definitely
be fair, I think you're meant to.
Yeah.
And but I like this.
Yeah, this is cool. Definitely a movie for people who've seen the series.
Yeah.
So a B from somebody who's not as familiar, I think, is a really good grade.
As an adventure, it's fun.
A minus. My only complaint, I wasn't quite sold on Forrest Whitaker's character. But that's a minor.
There was one
A-.
move that he made, and I was like, what the.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that on our regular possible.
What do you think?
I would put an A. I would put an A. Not a minus, an A. Not an A plus because of the CGI at the one part, but an A.
I give a solid A, the CGI, and then there's one scene in particular where I was completely just into the movie, and they had one little kind of cameo. I won't spoil who the two people were, but it totally took me out of it because I was like, this is the whole galaxy. They're not going to be there.
Yeah.
Chances are like boom, almost nothing. So it was cool to see them, but it was just like,
It was not Henry Cavill for those on the edge of their seats.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that you graded it a B without Henry Cavill in it. Go see it. All right.
And listen to our episode this week, and we'll go to spoiler there. So.
Yeah. All right. Peace out. Bye.